Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Get a Grip podcast. I am Shane Bacon talking my recent stream song trip. Had my buddy Ashton Woods, who was on the trip, comes on most of my golf trips with me. Never had him on the podcast before. And I'm going to tell you this. Stay till the end because we talked stream song and we talked about what's great about it. Had some stories from the golf trip, but on the back end, we hit on just a few golfing stories. Ashton, you know, Mundaying into a Korn Ferry event back in his day, playing with Homa during COVID at Papago and watching the extraordinary ball striking for Max over the weeks of that experience. So stay till the end. I promise it'll be worth your time. Before we get to the conversation, good, exciting news on my behalf, on our behalf, if you will. Ground Under Repair, which is the logo design company that I started with Kate Smith a couple of years ago, we just opened our store, which is very exciting because we've been working on it for months and months and months. And I must give a shout out to my wife, Cindy B, who's been crushing it. She did all of the kind of logistical stuff that I don't want to deal with and that I'd be terrible at. But check out our shop. We've got really cool prints for holidays in the shop. Great for the office and for your golf closet and room and basement and whatever the case may be. A lot of options there. We've got golf tees. We've got stickers. We're going to be adding more stuff over the coming months in the store. If you go to GUR Designs with an S, GURDesigns.com, and go to the shop tab on the website right there, you can buy things from us and we will send them to you and they'll be in good shape and you'll be excited about it. So if you're looking for holiday gift ideas or things like that, check that out. Speaking of holiday gift ideas, I wrote a children's golf book. I'm sure you've heard about this. It's called The Golfer Zoo. It is a perfect gift for the parent in your life that you don't know what to buy for them, expecting parent, new parent, young kids that, you know, a niece, a nephew, things like that, that maybe are into golf or could be interested in golf. It's great for all of those people. And maybe just buy it for yourself. I mean, for goodness sakes, what better than a nice children's book on your bookshelf to confuse people, throw them off. The Golfer Zoo, you can get that at back9press.com/bacon. It's also available on Amazon. If you're an Amazon person, I'd prefer you buy it on back9press.com. But if you want to just go the Amazon route, I understand it. But that's my children's golf book. Great gift as well. Ground Under Repair Store, The Golfer Zoo. Those are my plugs. This is the podcast. Let's get to a little stream song recap. It's Ashton Woods on the podcast. One of my longest running friends is like an adult golf person, I think it's probably fair to say. Is that a fair thing to put out there?
I think it's very accurate. We've played a lot of golf together.
Yeah, so we met Ashton and I. Ashton played golf at Utah, and we both tried to play pro golf for a while back in the heyday of mini tour golf. Ashton and I met. When you try to play pro golf, you get jobs at golf courses. That's a little bit of the rule. You might be a caddy and you might, you know, work at a pro shop or you might work outside service. We met working outside service. What year is that? I mean, is that like 07? Is that what it was?
07. That's when I moved to Arizona, January of 07. And you were the second person. I moved to Arizona. I knew one person. We get down there. You're the second person that I met. And here we are 16 years later. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a outside service. If you know anybody that does that job, it is a job. It is something you do. And you get up very early and you pull carts. And I mean, we worked at True North. We were like rangers and we'd get bags out of carts. I mean, there were probably what, like 12 jobs you had within the one job that we possessed. Is that fair to say?
Oh, don't forget about Podium.
Podium was a big deal. That was like president of outside service.
Starter, ranger. I mean, yeah. And you talk about early mornings. I mean, we were getting to the golf course. I'm pretty sure it was like 3:30.
Yep. In the summer, for sure. I mean, in the summer in Arizona, you'd have to be there at like 3:30, 3:45. You'd pull carts, you'd set them up. And then, yeah, I mean, from there, we both tried to play Gateway Tour golf similar times. You went longer than I did. You did like the Q school route. I know we got that coming up back in the day. You worked at what is now Scottsdale National. I think at the time it was Golf Club Scottsdale. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, great golf course.
Yeah, one golf course. Yeah, before Parsons bought it. And then you ended up not trying to play pro golf, and now you have like a real job and all that, and you've been doing that for a long time, and you're wearing your Ping hoodie. I appreciate it. We just got back from a golf trip, and that's what we're going to talk about today, Ashton. You'd never been to Streamsong. I'd been to Streamsong a couple times. Normally, when we kind of do these recap podcasts, I have Joel Klatt on the pod, but you know he's busy doing like Ohio State Michigan games, so he couldn't play golf. He can't play golf this time of year, that's for sure. So it was me, you, our buddy Andrew, and our buddy Darren. We went out to Streamsong for kind of a 40th birthday celebration, if you will. And I wanted to jump on the pod and just kind of talk about Streamsong because you'd never been there. You'd been to Bannon. You've been to a lot of places. You've been to Pebble a million times, but you'd never been to Streamsong. So first things first, Ashton, what did you think Streamsong would be and what was it to you?
So Streamsong had a lot of, I think, hype built up for me. You know, I had heard from obviously you who had been there before. I'd heard from other guys who'd been there. I heard from, I've got some buddies who live out on the East Coast. You know, they kind of were touting it as a little bit of like the East Coast Bandon Dunes, right? And so I try not to, even though it was getting built up to me, I tried not to build it up myself. Like I just wanted to go in and with no expectations whatsoever. It was hard to not do that. But I will say it met and or surpassed all of my expectations. It is such a cool place, such a great piece of property. The golf courses are amazing. And I know we're going to get into this and we're going to talk through a little bit more of it, but the golf courses, the restaurants, the shuttle service, everybody was so friendly. Ridiculously nice, which, you know, I think that's kind of something like that Southern hospitality, right? Just such good people, happy that we were there. Just an awesome, awesome place. So yeah, in a nutshell.
Did it remind you of any place? Like, did you get any feelings of anywhere else you've been before? I know the shuttles, I know we talked a little bit about the shuttles feeling a little bit like we'd been at Bandon Dunes. Obviously, I mean, when you get on a shuttle anywhere, you feel like you're abandoned, but did you get any sense of a place you played, whether it be a destination place or just any sort of a golf course?
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, the hard thing for me was it didn't really feel like I was in Florida. And now maybe that was because it was a little chilly.
What about the 8-foot gators? Did that change it or no?
Yeah. Then we see the gator on the last day and it was like, oh yeah, okay, we're in Florida. This is awesome. You know, it was so cool. Yeah. I mean, it definitely had a feel of Bandon. And then, you know, like so I went to Bandon for the first time. I don't even remember. 2006. 2007. Somewhere in there. I want to say, yeah.
You played in the what was that? What'd you play in?
The Pacific Coast Amateur, which is a great, such a great tournament.
If you go to Bandon, by the way, and you go to the bunker bar, Ashton's name is signed on the amateur. You know, it's a big championship. But, you know, I mean, you see in country clubs, pro shops, things like that. You know, they have the U.S. Amateur where all the amateur names, all the players sign their names, and the junior AMs and U.S. Opens, things like that. Ashton Wood's name signed on the wall forever in the hallway going to the bunker bar in Bandon Dunes. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was – we played in that tournament, 06. And when I was there, it was Bandon Dunes and Pacific Dunes. And I think Trails was under construction. And so – and it was just such an amazing place, right? And – there were things that were in the works and there was buzz that they were talking about things that they were going to do. And Streamsong kind of had that same feel to it, right? Like there's rumors that they're building another course. The chain had just gotten finished, the short course, which was amazing that we got a little preview of that and got to go play. And that, it's so fun. But so I had, yeah, there were so many similarities with when I was at Bandon early.
Like it's early Bandon. Yeah, like early Bandon.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, yeah. I totally can see that and feel that. We went out there. I mean, it was a pretty short trip in terms of golf trip standards, even though I'm not sure what the perfect amount of time for a golf trip is. Like, you and I have two young kids, like similar aged kids. I mean, you know, you leave and we don't have a lot of family in the area that we both live in. Like, you live in California. You don't have family out there. I live in Connecticut. I don't have family either. So when you leave, like leaving for 5 days, maybe happens once a year. This was like 3.5 days, like might be the perfect amount of time for a golf trip.
So I was, it's funny you bring that up because I was literally trying to think about, I was like, man, I think we nailed this one. You know, I mean, like we do, you know, what, 2 or 3 golf trips a year, 1 or 2-ish, somewhere in there. I think we kind of nailed this one, man, for as far.
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. Let me tell you this, okay? I haven't taken a red eye in years, okay? And I took a red eye to Tampa, and immediately in the middle of that flight, it reminded me of why I don't do red eyes. And it,
I know.
And kudos.
It just saves the day though, dude. Like, listen.
Yes.
I mean, it's like red eyes are like, there's a lot of comps here to red eyes that I could throw out there that might not be appropriate. Red eyes are necessary at times when you live on the East Coast, because for me, like I was in Arizona a couple months ago for ping, like traveling throughout the day, you waste the day. So the red eyes, like, suck it up and go. But yes, not a lot of fun, especially domestic red eyes, because there's just not enough time to sleep.
They're so hard. The hardest part is going west to east. It's so brutal. So yes, red eyes are a necessary evil for sure. I'll tell you this, Andrew and I did the smartest thing in human history by, you know, we were like our red eye, we were on the same flight. Our red eye lands at 5. We go get our rental car at 6. You and Darren weren't getting in until
like 10:30, 11. Yep.
Yeah. So we were like, well, let's go get a hotel room. And we went, got a hotel room, took a nap, like just out like a light for 3.5-4 hours, and then got to shower and then come pick you and Darren up. I mean, it was like total game changer. I felt like a human being. It was great. So yeah.
So it's interesting you talk about StreamSong the way you talk about it as kind of like this great golf destination, early years Bannon. I mean, obviously now there's 3 golf courses. And then now the short course with the chain as well, which I think is going to be finished sometime in terms of finish being open, like all 19 holes being open sometime in like the April, May, I think, dates of 2024. We got to play what, 13 holes that would be played? Is that right?
Yeah, 13. That's what they have. Yeah, and it's unfortunate, you know, obviously with like, they just need some sunshine. They need some warm weather so that grass comes in on those other 6 holes.
Yeah, it was a little chilly when we were there, but I went to StreamSong with Andrew, who was on the trip, probably 12 years ago or something like that. We went out there, we did the fishing and the shooting, and there were two courses open. And we had a chat with some people that work at StreamSong while we were there. And what has happened in terms of what they're looking to do and then transition at StreamSong was to move away a bit from making StreamSong a bit of a corporate hotel destination and making it a bit more of a golf destination. And going 12 years ago versus going last week, I mean, it is almost night and day in that experience. And Andrew mentioned it. I mean, he was like, I remember leaving here a decade ago and thinking it was a cool spot, but maybe it's not a place I tell my buddies to go on a golf trip. And it is flipped. I mean, I remember going for the Black Course opening a few years back when Gil opened that golf course, and the clubhouse and the restaurant there being a total game changer. TVs everywhere. It's all glass. Easy place to hang out at night after the round. You can go putt if the sun's still up, things like that. But just having options, I think, is key. I mean, you mentioned going to Bandon in the early years of Bandon. Not a lot of options at Bandon in 07, 08, 09. 2 golf courses, the Lodge was there, and that was kind of it. And, you know, obviously now, I mean, they're opening new stuff. It feels like every single year at Bandon Dunes. And you could eat at a different restaurant every single day at Bandon if you wanted to. StreamSong has added that, which I think is a huge bonus for a place like this on the East Coast. Because, Ash, like, you're talking about taking a red eye. Like, I live on the East Coast. Getting to Bandon Dunes is very, very hard for somebody in Connecticut. But taking a flight from, you know, LaGuardia to Tampa is extremely doable. And it's, what, an hour and a half drive from the airport, and you're at the front gate of StreamSong and you're ready to rock? I mean, when you think about places for people to go, and I know StreamSong is trying to reach people on the West Coast like yourself, but when you think of convenience, you think about time, and you kind of start to lay out a golf trip, how long is the travel is an important part of that puzzle. And if you live in Georgia or Alabama, or you live in, you know, North Carolina or New York, StreamSong is an extremely great option for a golf trip now that they've kind of changed mentalities.
100%. And I think So it's that concept, right? Like I it one of the greatest movie lines of all time, like if you build it, they will come,
Right.
right? And that's what I mean, it almost doesn't matter how hard someplace is to get to. Bandon is hard to get to, but
It's worth it, right? Yes.
it's worth it, right? Like the tea sheet is full, the hotels are full. Like if you build it, people will come. And it's the same thing with Stream Song. Like getting to Tampa is easy, but you know, it's an hour and a half drive. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, which is I think one of the coolest parts about it. I don't think that's a negative. I think that's a huge positive. But again, if the quality of golf is there, you know, obviously they've got the shooting and the fishing and like all the amazing other
Yeah.
things about it. Like it's a phenomenal destination. It's a great place to go. And I want to be fair to Stream Song because I keep drawing these comparisons to Bandon Dunes. And I think Stream Song eventually will get to a place where it stands on its own, right? Where it's, you know, it's not being compared to Bandon Dunes all the time. But right now, I guess, and I mean this with, you know, 100% respect to Stream Song, but it's like I just keep comparing it. And maybe it's just because Bandon's the only thing to compare it to, right? And hey, if you're being compared to Bandon Dunes, like you're doing a lot of things right. So yeah.
Totally. I mean, if you ask Rory McIlroy about being compared to Tiger Woods, like if you're being compared to Tiger Woods, like that's a good thing. I mean, that means that you obviously are showing potential that you're going to be an all-time great golfer, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're getting compared to the GOAT of golf trips, in my opinion, at Bandon Dunes, that is a good thing. And as we've said, I went to Stream Song when there was two golf courses. Having a third course is enormous. And then getting a chance to play the chain, the short course, which we did. We did that, what, the last day? Is that, or the second to last day that afternoon?
Second to last day,
Yeah.
yeah. Yep.
And you know, I mean, I think that's a great option. So, a couple things we did that I think is worth pointing out to people. We're 40, Ashton. We're not 28 anymore.
It.
We've done golf trips when we're 28. We've done golf trips when we're 33. We're doing a golf trip when we're 40. That was the purpose of the trip.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk 36 3 or 4 days in a row anymore. I will. I'm capable of it, but I don't really want to. I think sometimes, Ash, and I'd like your opinion on this, sometimes golf trips, like a Vegas trip, can be so exhausting physically. You know, if you're drinking all night, you're staying up late, you're not getting a lot of sleep. Like you get home, you're not refreshed, you're beat up. Like you need a vacation from the vacation. And so we played the first day, we played 18 holes, and then we did on the red, and then we played 18 holes on the black, but we took carts. In the afternoon, you can still take four caddies. We took four caddies. It was great. But having carts as an option in the afternoon to me was enormous because not everybody's that interested in walking two rounds every single day.
Not everybody's interested in it. And like, let's be fair. I mean, not everybody, you know, you and I are going to get to a point and hopefully this is a long ways away, but we're going to get to the point where we can't play 36 in a day, you know? Like,
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. That's a tough pill to swallow, you know, but we're going to get there. And yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, we had caddies in the morning. Caddies were awesome. Shout out to Colin and Don. But like, the carts in the afternoon was great. And then the next day we did we do blue in the morning? And then we did the chain in the afternoon, which was,
Yep.
you know, obviously for a short course, like
Yep.
super doable to actually go out and walk 36 holes when you do, you know, let's call it a regulation size golf course and then a short course, right? So it worked out so great. It was perfect. You know, the carts in the afternoon was, that was such a fun round because, you know, you play red in the morning. Red was amazing. We go to black in the afternoon. We're in the carts. We have the speaker going, you know, like.
Correct. It's almost a different vibe, dude. Like it almost
Yeah.
is like you
Yeah.
can mix in the vibes of what you're going for, where to me, when you walk, like walking is, it's hard to smoke cigars when you walk. It's hard to drink when you walk. You're carrying all this stuff, right? Like that stuff's either in your hands or on the ground. There's nowhere to set it. You don't have a push cart, things like that. It almost feels like you're completely changing the vibe in the afternoon to throw the carts in there because you've got cup holders, you've got places to put speakers and range finders. All of that stuff is added to the afternoon, which in my brain isn't normally a part of a golf trip. Like those things don't typically happen, right? I mean, some places you can go to and you can ride in the cart the whole time, but just having that, the option of mixing those two things in on the same day, I thought was cool. And again, I thought it changed a little bit of the vibe. I would argue the most fun round we had was the afternoon round that first day playing the black and carts.
It absolutely was. Well, it's tough to, it's either the chain because it was so fun, or it was that afternoon yep. round. But you're absolutely right. It takes it to another level. I'm always excited to go play golf, even if it's the second 18 of a 36 hole day and I'm walking. But taking the cart, it was like we all had a little extra pep in our step, right? When we were like,
You knew it was coming, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was great. Yeah.
All right, so we play the chain, and I want to talk a little bit about the chain because chain is not a par three course, mind you. I was corrected on property about this. It is a short course, and so it's a Core Crenshaw design, very cool. Streamsong needed something like this, and they got it. It's going to be massive. It's beautiful. It's got some really crazy shots on some of the holes we didn't even play. I mean, they're like kind of like a punch bowl-y green that if you've played the black course at Streamsong, there's a punch bowl there, I think the ninth. It is double the size of the punch bowl. It's about the biggest punch bowl I've ever seen. I mean, comparable, I guess, to Fisher's Island, if you will. I mean, it is crazy how deep that thing is. We drove out and looked at it, but
it looks so cool.
It is a short course because this is not five wedges in your putter. This is, you're hitting some real man golf shots. I mean, I'm not sure you, Ashton, lost a golf ball on the red, black, or blue the entire week. I think you lost at least a ball on the chain. I mean, I know you hit one in the water on that really, really cool par three, the fifth or sixth hole there where the water's on the right and it feels like you're in Nebraska. But I mean, there are some real demanding golf shots on this short course. And the idea is right now it's on mats, but the idea of the short course and the reason they're not calling it a par three course is you're picking the tees you're hitting from. You're picking the distance you're playing. Like there are no plates. There is no, this is 120 yard par three you're playing today. You get to basically make up the hole you're playing. Now there's designated tee areas to tee off on, but in theory, you and I are on a team. We win the hole. The next hole, we could walk up 80 yards and hit that tee shot. And I think it was inspired by Kaiser's original design, the Dunes Club. And it's got a little bit of that feel to a hoopie as well, where there is no real quote unquote par to a hoopie. You kind of pick the tees you hit from, but very unique, very cool. And just, you know, given your experiences playing plenty of the par threes and the short courses around the country, what was your, I guess, reaction, if you will, to what it asked and how it played?
I had a very quick peaks and valleys and then back to peaks
okay.
experience on the chain. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but you know, so we're playing this, the short course, right? It's the chain. It's a preview round. I'm flying high. I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. We play like the first, I think it's the first two holes.
Ash, we walk up on the first tee. And of course, you know, when we're playing a short course, we don't have our caddies. We ask what everybody asks on a short course. What's the longest shot you have here? The guy's like, you're going to need every club in the bag. Like there ain't taking, it's, you know, it's not preserved. You're not taking all the clubs out, but the 7-iron in below. I mean, you basically need everything up to a driver potentially on this golf course.
100%. I mean, you need like, don't take the head covers off, you know, or out, you know, like you're going to need some furniture on a couple of shots. You know, and it was funny. Yeah, the guy's reaction when we were like, you know, hey, you know, can we take some clubs out? And he was like, you guys are probably going to need all of them, you know? And like he was,
285 or something.
And
yeah.
It kind of lulls you, lulls you to sleep, probably is the right way to say this, but it like, you know, it's your kind of your typical short course. Like the first holes, I think it was like we shot it with the laser, it was like 102 or something. The next holes, right in there too, like 112, and you're kind of thinking, you're like, oh yeah, and it's a they're cool greens and it's got a cool look. And then you get, I think it was, and three is a little bit longer, so maybe 135, and then you get to four.
Yep.
And you're like, and I just remember I was like, this isn't a short course. Like I'm standing here and I've got to either feather a little cut 6-iron or I've got to just smash a 7-iron, like 180 whatever yards
like
it was.
Death right.
Yeah, you know, nothing right, fall off left. I'm like, what do I, this is not a short course, you know, so this is my valley on the chain. And then we get to, I think it's eight. It's 260.
Yep.
You know, and like, I don't want to like divulge too much here, but like, we're standing there. We've all got three woods out. We're like, you know, obviously you can kind of see on the left side is death. Yep. Like you do not hit it left.
You can't find the ball left. It's done.
But to credit like the chain and the design and like you've got a mile of room.
Yep.
Right. Right. So like it's not that it's not super unfair. It's not like that. It's not playable. It's super playable. It's super fair. And, you know, kind of what you were talking about earlier, once the grass comes in and it's matured a little bit and you can then kind of pick your spots, because we were playing from mats,
Yep.
right? It was like, hey, this is the hole. This is where you have to, this is where you have to hit from. Totally fine. So I can't wait to go back and play it when it's fully, you know, ready to rock and roll. And we get to, and you can walk up 100 yards.
Yep.
Like you don't have to hit a 260.
Right. Like I guess in theory, you wouldn't have to carry all the clubs in your bag. Cause I guess you could have a rule amongst your buddies where it's like 170s max. And that's as much as we're playing, and we'll play from a spot to hit those shots from. Right. I mean, in theory, you wouldn't need all the clubs if you don't want to play it as far back as you can.
100%. And it's going to be such a cool concept to be able to pick and choose. And there, you know, I mean, with the other short courses around the country, and I haven't played all of them, but you know, a few that I have, you know, it's a little bit, you know, hey, here's the tee box and hit it from here. With the chain and their concept of like, hey, you can play this as far back as like, I think eight, you can go back and play it at 290 if you want
sure.
to. Right. And then you can walk up and maybe you play it at like 150. Right. I'm not exactly sure if that's going to be an option, but it's going to be so cool to be like, you're going to see people being so creative, and that's so fun.
Yeah. Can you talk about the three wood you hit on that hole? Did you hit a very good shot there?
I think I blacked out. Yeah. I don't remember what happened.
It was so good.
I mean, it was maybe the best swing of the whole trip. I don't know.
It was that or your last swing of the trip. I mean, you laced three wood to like 20 feet or 15 feet or something. We were all like, well, I guess Ashton's winning this hole, or we're going to just move on from now.
Oh man. Yeah. And then, you know, like just looking and the other holes, the greens are so cool. They're so fun. You know, kind of like your typical short course type of green, which are, you know, the slopes and mounds and little plateaus, and like they could get so creative and have so much fun with some pins and like just the shots you're going to be able to hit. I mean, I just keep thinking like, I can't wait to go back and play it the way that it's supposed to be played. Right.
Right.
Like where you get to kind of pick and choose. So it's going to be, dude, it's going
to
be awesome.
I remember I was talking to a course designer once about, because again, there are, I mean, you talked about I think it's the eighth or ninth hole you were talking about, the long one. The hole before it, yep. I mean, I hit 5-iron on it. You know, I mean, this is like no joke. It was like, I don't know, 205, 210, something like that. I mean, it was pretty meaty as well. I once asked a course designer about long par threes, because you hear so many players, especially pros, kind of gripe about long par threes. And I'd seen a little bit about this in terms of the chain with Bill and Ben, as they said, what was so cool about that project was you don't know what clubs players are hitting into holes when you build a big course, right? I mean, you've got a 430-yard par four. Somebody hits it 330, they're hitting lob wedge into the hole, right? Somebody hits it 200, they're hitting three-wood into the hole. Like, you don't know what club is the club of choice for a player coming into a hole. You might have an idea of it, but you can't pick that. When you build a short course, a par three course, whatever, or a long par three, you're making players hit the club into that hole you want them to hit. And I think that opening up the creative brain, in a sense, for somebody as talented as that team is so cool, because you can build a bit of a crazy green and say, yo, you're hitting 4-iron into the screen. You know, if you're playing it from kind of where the plates are, if you will, like it's a 4-iron in. And that means you've got to hit an amazing shot or use the slope or whatever the case may be. And I just feel like giving those kind of keys to, you know, Bill and Ben of all people, and allowing them to get creative with it, you could see it out there. Like, on the hole we're talking about, 285, I missed way right. It was a pretty easy pitch shot, you know, because it was straight up into the green. So you could hit it over there if you wanted to, but if the pin would have been in a different spot, that would have been a brutal pitch shot. So, you know, if you don't hit the golf shot they're asking you to hit, or you don't take on the trouble, you know, it could get pretty dicey.
I'm so guilty of that. I'm so guilty of like pulling up to a par three that's 230 and just like rolling my eyes,
totally.
You know? And I mean, I think there's something to like the lost art of the short par three, right? Like you and I've had multiple conversations about this over the years, that they're so fun, the short par threes. But when you have a short course and you're able to get creative on this stuff, and to your point, you know, you can kind of pick and choose, but the way that they designed it, the way they put it together, it's awesome. It's fair. It's fun. You get to hit like, you know, I can only imagine that on a, I mean, if you remember when we played the chain, it wasn't necessarily warm.
No, we put our bags on the first tee, and all four of us, because it's right by the hotel. I mean, it's 150 yards from the hotel where the first tee is and where they're eventually going to have kind of their shack there. We all ran into the hotel and put more clothes on. I mean, it was chilly, I'll say that, when we were teeing.
I mean, I went and bought a new vest. Like, it's a down.
Is that right?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was.
You use that a lot in Southern California?
I did not get cold. I played golf this morning. Keep that on the down low. But played golf this morning, and I wore it. It was a little chilly out here in Southern California this morning, so I got to wear my Stream Song vest and represent. But yeah, no, just like kind of what I was just going to say is just the chain. You're going to be able to hit, like, not only are you going to be able to get creative with like picking where you want to play a hole from, but you're also going to be able to get really creative and have a ton of fun with like the shots that you hit.
Yep.
So, just I mean, you know, short courses, so fun. So great. It's going to be great. So, yeah.
All right. So talking about the big courses, we played all of them. We played all three. Did you have a favorite? Did one stick out more than the others to you personally?
Man, I knew you were going to ask me this. If I had like gun to my head, if I have to pick one, I'm going Red.
Okay.
I just loved Red. It had a great feel to it. It had a great look to it. I liked the design. I liked the way the hole's set up. The tee shots, especially, I'm a big tee shot guy. There were holes that were framed really well that moved and fit my eye, really what, like standing up there and seeing a cut, standing up there and seeing a little draw, you know, whatever. So, Red definitely. And I wanted to get your opinion on this too. So what's your favorite? The first question I'll ask you.
I mean, I think I'm a black guy. I mean, I think I like the black course the most. I remember going out there when they opened it, and I thought there were so many fun golf shots that they asked you to hit. I also think it's friendly off the tee compared to the other two golf courses, which for a lot of people, par 73, a lot of par fives, like a lot of scoring opportunities. We've been talking about Bandon, feels kind of sheep ranchy to me in a way where I think it's a great starter golf course to that trip. You can get out there. There's some crazy greens. There's some fun greens. There's some, you know, you start with a par five. Like Sheep Ranch, I think, is a great starter course to a Bandon trip. No bunkers on the golf course. It's probably the easiest of the courses, depending on the wind. You kind of want to start your trip or end your trip at Sheep Ranch. And I think the same thing with the black course is, I feel like when you get the Stream Song, you know, you hadn't played a lot of golf, or, you know, maybe you're just kind of like getting out of winter if you live where I live, start on the black. You're not going to lose a ton of golf balls, and you're going to have some birdie opportunities.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you said. If I had to kind of, you know, like favorite for me, Red, then probably black, then blue. Playability, I thought, I mean, like to your point, black was like a lot of fun.
Yep.
Super playable, great probably course to, like, if you're going to be at Stream Song for 3 or 4 days, you're going to be playing all the courses, probably, you know, at least twice. I start with black.
Yep.
Like, start with black. It's such a good lead off to get you warmed up, to get you going. And especially if you're coming out of the snow. I think it's funny because we played Red twice, and we played the combo tees,
yep,
right? So it was like the backs and the one ups on our first round on Red.
Right.
And then our last round was Red.
You and I went all the way back.
And we go all the way back. Let me tell you something. Okay. It was like we played a completely
totally
different golf course.
Yep.
Going just one tee back. And it was
Ash, the second hole at Red, the second day we played it. The first day we played it, we played a combo set of tees, and the second hole's a par five on the Red course. Tees moved up. I hit driver 9-iron into it. The second day we played backs, I think I hit driver 7-wood wedge. I mean, like, that is like totally different hole. It is like an intimidating tee shot there from way, way, way back.
100%. We walked up to the tee box, and Caddy puts Colin puts my bag down, and I look at him and I go, "What's the carry to the fairway?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do I get over the water? How good do I have to get this thing?
It's like, holy smoke, you know, and like the wind was kind of like coming in and out of the left. And I was like, oh man, if I hit one of my little flare ones, like, this isn't going to be good.
The tee thing was very interesting. I agree with you though. Even, you know, I mean, people know that there's a pretty dramatic change from maybe a middle tee to a back tee, but just going combo to back is wild because we played so many of the back tees during that round, but just adding some of those combo tees where, again, they push you up for a reason. It was dramatically different, especially on that back nine.
It felt like a whole different golf course, man. Yeah. Yeah. We played the, I don't know what you, we played the yellow course. You know what I mean? Like it was,
That's right. It was like a mix of paint. Yeah. You got to get involved in this one. The red, I mean, I'm not surprised the red is your favorite. Obviously we played it twice. And I think it's the highest rated course there in terms of like, you know, rankings, when you look across those things. I think when you kind of pick apart holes, like 18 holes, you're probably going to get the most picturesque holes from either red or blue, especially some of those crazy par threes. But yeah, for me, I mean, I don't know, just the difference in the black and kind of meandering around, you know, that back nine is so different than the front nine, even on that golf course. There's some pretty cool things there, I think, as well.
So I kind of was mentioning, you know, that we were like, I tried to go in unbiased. And one of the things that I didn't want to do is I asked you, but I think you were the only person that I talked to about this. I didn't ask anybody else that I talked to about Stream Song before we went, like, what was your favorite course or why was it your, because I didn't want any sort of bias whatsoever. And I knew I would have some if, you know, I'm talking like to a buddy of mine who, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I loved blue, which is funny because I asked him while we were on the trip, like after we had played all three of them, then I was getting he and I were kind of texting and I said, hey, which one's your favorite? He's a blue guy. Like he loved blue, but it's like, they're all great.
For sure.
I mean,
for sure.
You know, like,
I mean,
like,
this is, are you in the band?
Which one's your favorite?
Right? I mean, this is all, yeah. I mean, all, I mean, this is why rankings in general are a bit silly because they're so subjective to you. Right. I mean, I look at my Bannon rankings and your Bannon rankings and they're going to be totally different, you know, but I mean, that's not to say you don't like Bannon Trails when it's my number one. That's not to say you don't like Stream Song Black if it's my number one. It's just red, like you said, makes more sense to you. The tee shots, you know, catch your eye better. I think you had your best round on the red, like all of those things, you know, factor into enjoyment level there. Can we talk about the hotel for a minute?
Yes. But while we're still on the golf, yeah. We can't like not talk about this. When we played blue, do you remember our best ball on the front nine?
Oh, God. What was the front?
I mean, dude, you made four. I have the scorecard in front of me just because, like, there I wanted go. To make
Look
sure
at
that
him.
You talk. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This man is prepped. Get him on more pods.
You made four birdies, and I made three, and neither of us birdied the same hole. We were seven under on the front in a best ball, and then – we go to the back. We both messed up on the same hole, that par three, 16. I think we both like.
Oh well, our entire crew. We played it like 10 over.
Well, yeah, terrible. That's right. We did, but so without that, you know, where I think you and I both made double on 16. Without that, then we go to the back, and I make one birdie. You make two birdies, and it the back nine kind of got tough. It got windier. Yep. It was, you know, it was kind of like. And I think we were maybe like a little bit tired or something at that point. But like, dude, our best ball that day would have been just lights out. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Can we, can we exchange that for one of our four balls we tried to qualify for over the years where we, you know, just completely the Poppy Hills experience that we rarely talk about because it's such a bummer. 200 through two at Poppy and then absolutely fell apart. But yeah, that was years ago. We're not going to talk about that. I do want to talk about this before we get to the hotel. Last swing of the trip, 18, red, par 5. Ashton got a new driver, and he was obsessed with it, and he hit it as good as I've ever seen him drive the golf ball. Like, to say he was hitting it on a string is probably, like, strings aren't this straight, typically. I mean, it was a clinic. Honestly, it was a clinic watching you drive the golf ball, literally the entire trip.
Thanks, man.
I was trying to think of, like, I was trying to think today of some you didn't hit well. There was maybe a couple that you flared. You know, I mean, this is like 3 days of golf, but other than that, it was incredible to watch. But early in the trip, you hit driver off the deck on one par five. And I remember you telling Colin, you said, I hadn't hit this driver off the deck yet. And you hit an awesome shot. Okay. So fast forward to the last hole of the trip, red course, 18th hole. How far did you have in?
I think I had 275, 274. Yeah.
It was like you were right of the bunker, perfect position, 275. I look over, you got driver off the deck in hand, and I'm standing right next to you. And I pull my camera out because I'm like, I got to film this. You know, I've seen him hit it already once on this trip, and it was just a seed.
Because he's either going to top it or hit a good one.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be I can make fun of them for it, or I can keep it as, as like a highlight of the trip. Just, I mean, best swinger your year. I mean, it was unreal, dude.
It was right on it, man. Yeah, it was. Well, look, it was,
had to have taken a peek too.
It had to have. It was right behind the hole when we got up there. I think it was like, I don't know, 10 or probably 12, 15 feet. It was great. Yeah, great way to, I mean, you know, great swing to end a great trip on.
Yeah, so driver off the deck right over the top of the flag. We saw the ball mark. We saw where the ball ended up. And then he made it. So he walked off eagle at the last, which was very fun to see. And again, I have it on video. I think I posted on social. I'll post it on social again when we put the podcast out. But that was awesome. I want to talk about the hotel because I think when I went to Streamsong the first time years ago with Andrew, it was the thing I remember the most about the trip. Is I say this a lot about Cabot as well, because I've been lucky enough to go to Cabot in Nova Scotia. Those hotel rooms are unbelievable. Heated floors and the bathrooms, things like that. But I remember my takeaway from Streamsong was how good the hotel rooms are. And that continued on. I mean, awesome hotel rooms for a golf trip. I mean, everything you want and more. I'm looking for space. I'm looking for comfort. Showers, great. Were you blown away by the hotel rooms like I was?
It was so nice. I didn't feel like I was at a golf course.
Right.
Like I felt.
It's like a high end. It's like a Four Seasons or something, dude.
I mean, for work, like for my real job, like I'm very fortunate that for when I travel, like we usually stay in some pretty nice places. That's what this felt like.
Yep.
Like this felt like a really nice hotel. And, you know, it's one of those things, and Shane, like you and I have talked about this a little bit, but I kind of was going back and I was like, well, like you're on a golf trip, you're playing golf all day. Like really all I need is a bed. I'll tell you this, right? Like. A nice bed and a nice place to sleep and a huge shower and a nice bathroom. And like the rooms are huge. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm rooming with Darren, who's 6'5" and brings like his whole house with him.
By the way, our friend Darren brought three bags, golf bag, big bag, third bag. It was a big part of pretty much our entire conversation for 3.5 days, or how many bags Darren brought. And so I'm glad that got on the pod. But yes, excess amount of bags. But also, he brought a lot of stuff, too.
He brought a lot of great stuff. I mean, I don't know if you remember when you came into our room. It was like walking into a physical therapy clinic.
Yeah, yeah.
And this goes to the fact that we're 40 now. But like, I mean, there was Hyper Ice boots. And
he's got multiple guns and ball. I mean, like, it was literally like physical therapy. Like, you could have done a physical therapy session right there in your room.
I felt phenomenal because he's a phenomenal human being who was willing to like share all this stuff. And he was like, oh yeah, how's your legs feel? You, like, put these boots on. It was amazing. I felt like an actual human. And you know, I have felt way worse on some of these golf trips that we go on where your legs are just, they feel like, you know, they're so heavy, they're logs. But yeah, the rooms were great, man. The rooms were great. They're very spacious. They were spacious enough for all of Darren's stuff.
And Darren in general. And you know what, dude? Like, I know you talk about the hotel room thing and like a golf trip hotel room, but I've become a bit of a hotel room snob. I mean, just being on the road, like, you want to be in a nice room, you know? I mean, even if you're not going to be in there for a long time, you'd like it to be nice. And this place has that in spades. And I was very impressed with the rooms again, going back, you know, so however many years later, and just reminding yourself how good they are.
And there were little things, right? Like there's I don't know if you noticed this or if you had this in your room, but like the little bench that you could like just sit down in. It's like a little one seater, kick your shoes off or like in
change
the morning,
your golf
put your shoes
on.
It's just so like, you're not kind of, I don't know, for me, like I'm, you know, obviously vertically challenged, but like, you can, you know, for me to like sit on the edge of the bed, like my feet are dangling, you know, and I'm like kicking them, waiting for somebody to put my shoes on for me. But like, you know, like that little bench, it was great. Like, you know, so it was, just very thoughtful, well decorated, lots of room, comfortable, just, and then like, you know, just really, really nice. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. A+. So, food was great. Place was great. Caddies were great. I have said this before about Streamsong. You get a lot of people to talk about flying into Orlando. I think Tampa's the way to go, man. I mean, it's not a long trip from the airport. You're talking like hour and a half easy shot, easy to get to, unless there's a fire when you leave on the road, which we may or may not have experienced. I had to go a secondary route, which happens. That's why we have Waze and you know, Apple Maps on our phone.
And it worked out. It worked out. It worked out great. Yeah. Tampa's airport. Great airport. Huge airport. Yeah.
Easy great. Airport. Yes. Let's go. I love the small airport. Okay. So we love Stream Song. Before I let you go, because we've never quite talked about this, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your mini tour golf experience, because, you know, I get pro golfers on and LPGA golfers on and Epson tour players on and things like that. But you played mini tour golf for how long? How many years?
A little over four years.
When did you realize it was time? When did you realize, okay, this probably isn't going to work out?
So I had multiple moments, to be honest with you. I had multiple moments throughout my, you know, 4 or 5 years of playing where, you know, and part of it was like caddying for some of these guys who are out there now. You know, I was caddying for
you've told the Nate Lashley story to me before about the shot he hit at Q School. Was that right?
Yeah. I'm caddying for Nate at Q School we're in Hawaii. I don't remember if it was first or second stage, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's blowing 30 miles an hour. I want to say it was either 9 or 18, but it was a par five. And like, he hits it in the left rough and he's like right behind this tree. And he's got to, like, if he's going to go at the green, he's got to hit, and we're 260, 270. And he's got to hook it around this tree if he's going to go at the green. Well, the wind's blowing 30 out of the left and there's water right. There's nothing good right. And so I'm caddying for him. I walk up there, get some yardages. I'm looking around. I look at him and I'm like, 7 iron, right? And he looks at me like I had 8 eyeballs and like my ears were popping off of my head. And he's like, no, 3 wood. And I'm like, and that, like, the lie wasn't even good, Bacon. Yeah. Like, it was like sitting down in that, you know, Hawaii Bermuda that's just gangly. And it's, I'm like, what is, like, do I call him off this shot? Like, what do I do? He proceeds to step up and hit this 20 yard hook into the wind, like, you know, fighting the wind, gets it to turn over, hooks it around the tree. It takes one hop on the front fringe and rolls to like 8 feet. And like, that was one of those moments where I was like, I don't have that shot. Like, yep. You know, what am I doing? You know? And so there was a few of those throughout. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those where like, you're always, I always just try to think like, you know, well, like, I can still do this. I like, even if I don't have that shot, like, it, and, or maybe it was denial. I'm not sure, but, yeah, man, I think it was, there was a lot that kind of happened, like that fourth year of me playing. And I'd lost the drive to give it 110%. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, if I'm not going to give this 110%, then like, why am I doing it?
Right.
That was kind of what it boiled down to.
I mean, I think I've told this mini tour story before, but the first Gateway Tour event I played in, the first round was a talking stick, and I birdied the last 2 holes, shot 68. And yep. I mean, I was like the most pumped I could be in the world. Like, I broke 70. I played well. I had a great finish, like all those things. I'm playing with a guy that had just played in the US Open and I beat him. And, you know, I go to the board and I'm in like 50th place, you know? And I mean, I was like, I played like pretty good.
Dude, I had
I mean, there was like a couple 62s and like 5 63s and, you know, a dozen 64s. And you're sitting there going like, I wasn't even sniffing that. You know, I was lucky to get this number on the card, you know?
Well, I mean, I had a similar, you know, and you, I think you know this, but like, I don't remember the golf course, but the same thing. It was a Gateway Tour event. I think I shot 2 under in the first round, and then I shot 1 under in the second round. And I'm sitting at 3 under, and I'm like, okay, well, that's got to be good enough to make the cut at least. Dude, I think I missed the cut by like 1 or 2, you know, and I shoot 3 under and I missed the cut by 1 or 2. I'm like, whew, okay. All right. Like, I didn't feel great about myself. I didn't go light the world on fire, but I was like, oh, I mean, you know, hopefully I'll be playing the final day or playing the weekend or whatever. And it was like, no, man,
no,
sorry.
That's a hard no. How did you feel about your golf game during COVID when we played Papago with Max Homa a lot? How did you feel about your iron play after those weekly money games we'd go play with Max? Did you feel good about yourself?
Dude, you and I, right? So like, we played with Max and he is, A, he's just an amazing human being, but B, he hits the ball better than anyone I have ever played with. And you, like, there were shots, you, like, you remember this, there were shots that he was hitting at Papago.
We and, would like, just laugh. I mean, you know, you and I would just start laughing.
We were like just laughing at each other. We didn't even have to say anything because we knew what we were laughing about. Like, just, I mean, he hit these five irons from like 220 to like 10 feet. And just, he's like filleting a little cut in there. Like, he's not even going, like, I'm ripping five iron from 220 to like get it on the front. Yeah. He's just kind of filleting a little, you know, a little cut up there. I mean, dude, it was humbling for sure.
The 8th and the 17th of Papago, if you've never played there in Arizona, they're like 230, maybe back pin on 8's like 240. 17, I mean, is like 255. And the amount of twos, because we'd play, you know, I mean, there was no golf to be played. Like, the only thing out there was try to play in some money games. And I mean, you know, whatever. And so just every Monday we would play Papago with Max and, you know, somebody else in our foursome. And the amount of twos he would make on those par threes, you know, I think you're spot on. Like, you and I are scratch golfers trying to get the ball on the green. That's our goal. Let's get this ball on the putting surface. And he'd like cut this four iron to the back pin on 8 to 12 feet and make two. You're like, well, yeah, that's, you know, there you go. There was no surprise that the glow up happened on the back end of that.
He's so good. And that, you know, and like, this is, it's funny because I'm sure you get this too, as you know, being a scratch golfer, you know, you play with some guys and they're like, oh my gosh, like, you're so good. And
why do you not play on tour is my favorite question in the world. Well, I shoot 78 a lot.
Yeah. You know, like, and those people, like, they're well-intentioned, you know, and they're like, I've even been asked, like, Ash, what, like, have you ever thought about going out and giving it a go again? And it's like, no, because, you know, like, and especially like, you know, those days of playing with Max, these guys are so good. Like, these guys are so unbelievably good. The things that they can do, the way that they see shots and how they feel, and their overall sense of like their feel for the game is just off the charts. And like, I don't think people really understand. And this is not a knock on, you know, on I guess, like, and I'm part of it, but like the general public, but like, these guys are so unbelievably good at what they do. It's crazy. And so like, those Mondays during COVID when we were playing the Monday Papago game, dude, it's like one of my, I mean, it's a for sure major, major highlight for me just in like my life. I mean, it was, those were fun rounds of golf to just go watch Max Homa play some golf, man. And like, yeah, I'm trying to make birdies, but
yeah, I mean, this was like pre, I think this was, he'd won Wells Fargo. I think he won that 19, but he hadn't won Riv yet. You know, he was like this PGA Tour player. I mean, he wasn't, you know, President's Cup, Ryder Cup, top 10 player in the world, like, you know, super duper duper star that he is now. But we definitely would see a little of that in the golf game when you're playing with him. You're like, yo, man, this guy, like you said, like, I've never seen somebody hit it like this before. I mean, consistently hit it on the button. Like, we'd play with mini tour guys and, you know, Max would be two or three under with five to go. And, you know, we'd play with a couple buddies, be two or three under. Like, I remember a couple times, like, our buddies were like four or five under beating Max, and Max would birdie like 16, 17 and 18 and beat him. You know, it was just like the ability to just click it in was quite impressive too. I agree with you. Those memories, they kind of stand alone, especially during that weird time in the world where we're like, well, this was like kind of the only fun thing we did today all week, man.
But it was really, really fun. So yeah, man, it was, good memories. Good, great, great days. So
yeah, before I let you go, can you tell me one more great memory you had this year, in Monterey?
Oh man. Yeah. Jeez. So my dad turned 70 this year and I was like, and he's never been to Pebble Beach and I've been there a lot. I've been very.
You used to play that the TaylorMade thing there, right? Was it the Invitational, whatever they called it? You played that a few times.
The TaylorMade Pro Am Pro Scratch or something like that. It was such. It's, and I think it's still going. But I mean, great tournament, phenomenal. You know, just, I mean, five star all the way. But so I've been so fortunate, so lucky to play my favorite golf course a lot. And my dad, he's never, you know, and my dad's a. Not a big golfer, but he's a golfer. And I mean, he got me started in the game. And so he turned 70 this year. And this was, he turned 70 in April. I turned 40 in March and he turned 70 in April. And so I was like, man, we gotta do something.
But Kev's gotta go, baby. We gotta do this thing.
Kev's gotta go. Yeah. He's gotta be I mean, Pebble's gonna be Kev's spot. And so we go, and it's on his actual birthday. So he's 70. And we're playing Pebble Beach that afternoon. We had like a 1 o'clock tee time. And I was like, well, let's go play the Hay as like a little warm up. So we go to the Hay, another short course, amazing, so fun, great. We get to 9, which is Tiger's hole, and you know, I mean, I'm like most people my age, like Tiger's, you know, Tiger's my hero, right? So
they're right, exactly.
We get to Tiger's hole, and it's into the wind. I think it was 115, and I'm like, oh, this is a perfect, like, into the wind. It's a perfect stock. Gap wedge.
Okay.
And I hit it right behind the hole and it sucks back for a one on my dad's 70th birthday. And then we go.
Did he go nuts?
Oh, we were it was so cool. Cause we weren't going nuts, but like we couldn't stop smiling. Like it was, yeah, dude, it was the best. I mean, what a moment with your dad on his birthday in like my, you know, other than maybe Bandon Dunes, like my favorite place in the entire world. So yeah, thanks for asking about that, man. It's good to rehash that memory.
Yeah, all right. So since we're talking good golf stories, just because this always makes me laugh, can you tell, before we go, can you tell about when you qualified for the Korn Ferry event and the weather switch when you were in college?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so.
So you play golf at Utah. And
I played at University of Utah, and Salt Lake has a Korn Ferry stop. And they don't even have this golf course anymore, which is kind of a shame, but. It was called Wing Point. It was out by the Salt Lake Airport. It's this Lynx-y style golf course. And I'm like second or third group off, like such a good draw. I'm playing with Ricky Barnes's brother. I think it's Andy.
Yep.
And we all kind of get off to a good start. We're playing pretty well. The weather's perfect. It's great. And like Salt Lake Lynx style golf course out by the airport, like it can get breezy. Dude, we get on the back nine and I think I got it to like 5 under, and you just know like any Korn Ferry, you know, one day qualifier is, you know, a Monday,
you got to be 7, you got to be 8, you got to be 9, like 5's not sniffing right.
You have to be to have, yeah, yeah. And at Wing Point you're like, man, I probably got to get to 8 to like even get in a playoff. So I'm pressing a little bit, but I'm playing good. We get to like 16 or 17. And like there's a little breeze that kind of kicks up, you know? And I'm like, man, if I'm going to get it, like, I got to get it, you know? And I think I make par on 16, par on 17. We get to 18, and I think I was either 5 or 6. We get to 18. I rip a drive, and I hit this pitching wedge to like 40 feet. And I'm like, oh, you know, great job, Ash. Yeah, knocked it right on there. Good one.
I was going to say your line, one of your lines, one of my famous Ashton lines is one of my favorite ones.
I got to give credit to Eric Bailey. That's an Eric Bailey line. Yeah. Knocked her right on there.
Okay. Knocked her right on there.
Knocked her right on there.
In case you want to use that with your buddies, when they have a wedge in hand and they hit it to like 50 feet, you could just throw that right at them. It's always great.
Knocked her right on there. So I step up over this putt and it literally just falls perfect last roll right over the front edge, and I shoot 6 or 7 under or whatever. We're putting the flag in the hole to walk off the green, our group, and the wind just like this gust of like 40 miles an hour comes ripping through, and I'm like, uh-oh. So I end up making it, it's gale force winds like all afternoon. Everybody else out on the golf
shoots
course
a million gets, yep.
Just battling, like watching these guys come in off the 18th after battling through that wind was like, just everybody's dejected. They're just frustrated. They're angry, you know? And so, yeah, man. And then I got in and, I got paired with, I played the first two rounds with Tony Finau when he was,
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. Played with Tony Finau the first two rounds of the,
did he hit it pretty short or not?
Dude, he outdrove me. And like, granted, this was before I really kind of picked up any distance. So, but dude, he was out driving me by like 140 yards.
Come on, dude. Come on.
No, I'm not exaggerating. There's a par five. So it's Willow Creek Country Club is where they have the event, or where they had the event when I was playing. And there's a par five. I want to say it's like 12 or 13, I think, something like that. It's a dogleg left. Dude, I hit this drive down there and I've got like two, and I hit a good one.
Yeah.
Like I've got 220-ish. Dude, he hit it over these bunkers, like down. He's got like 80 yards into this hole. Like it was insane. And I was like, man, this kid is special. And he was.
It was like Ram Hill's flashback, you know? It's like it's
dude. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But yes. 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 So yeah, man. Such a cool, like just a cool experience, you know. So yeah.
I know. Always wish we'd have played better, but it was fun when we got to do it. Ash, appreciate the time. We're both pro stream song. Check it out if you hadn't done it yet. We're big fans of the place. Just wanted to have you on and chat about it because I mean, you know, I like doing these things because people ask, you know, what is it like going and what are the courses like and all those things. And I'm like, might as well record a podcast about it. And you could just listen to it and hear random Tony Finau out driving Ashton Wood stories, you know, from 2004 or something like that. So, yeah, there you go. There you go. Ashton, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Bake. Appreciate it, buddy. Bye.
All righty. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. A lot of fun. Great catching up with Ash. Good to see him in 27 days, by the way. Got another golf trip coming up. Don't tell our wives. They might yell at us. But that is it for this week's podcast. Hope you guys have a great weekend. And also, check out the Ping Proving Grounds podcast. We've had a couple of awesome episodes as of late. That is absolutely worth your time. We will check back very soon.